Sanctum Mystery, starring Burgess Meredith. Brought to you by the makers of Carter's Pills.
Good evening, friends. Welcome again to the Inner Sanctum. I'm Raymond, your host. Come in, won't you, and sit down. I'm going to sit down for a moment, too. Upset? Yes, I am a bit upset. I've just been visiting with someone who always sets my nerves on edge. You're going to meet him in a little while. The one thing I hope is that you never meet him in real life, professionally.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries has the honor to bring you the distinguished young star of Broadway and Hollywood, Burgess Meredith. Tonight, Mr. Meredith appears in the role of Hunt Clayton in Hell Is Where You Find It, an original mystery drama written by Robert Newman and presented for your entertainment by the makers of Carter's Little Liver Pills. The best friend to your sunny disposition.
Now, we're ready to begin. My friend, I told you you'll be meeting him in a little while. And when you do meet him, you'll know it. Just as Hunt Clayton did. So, turn down the light. Put your smelling salts where they'll be handy and listen to the story of the man who discovered that hell is where you find it. City morgue. A small room. Its white tile floor and walls gleaming under the harsh glare of the naked electric light bulbs. Against one wall, a row of marble slabs. The still shapes on them covered by shrouds of coarse canvas. Suddenly, the door opens. Two men enter. One of them is the morgue attendant. The other is Hunt Clayton, wealthy art connoisseur and man about town. Walking to the last slab, the attendant turns down the shroud, exposing the face of a girl of about 20.
Miss her?
Yes, it's her.
Pretty little thing. Even now. You're a relative? You want to claim the body?
No, I was a friend, and I only came down to, come here, are you sure she didn't have a note on her? Anything about why she did it?
Yeah, nothing. Somehow they never do when they go into the river. Lucky her name was sewed into her clothes. You might not have been able to identify her.
Mary. Mary Delaney.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Another customer. Come in.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I've come for my daughter. They said...
Mrs. Delaney.
You. What are you doing here, you murderer?
Look, Mrs. Delaney.
Wait a minute. Who's a murderer?
He's. Him, Mr. Hunt Clayton, standing there so fine in his evening
clothes. Just a moment, Mrs. Delaney. I know this must have been a great shock to you and all that, but last time I saw Mary was 3 months ago.
I know that. And I know that the police wouldn't call it murder either. But still, I say you killed her as sure as if you stuck a knife in her heart. Why do you think she did it? Took her own life that way.
The faintest idea.
Haven't you? Then I'll tell you. Taking her out, a poor innocent child. Turning her head with your presence and all. Making her fall so mad in love with you that nothing else in the world mattered. And then throwing her aside like an old shoe.
I'm very sorry you feel that way about it, Mrs. Delaney. I came here because of... Well, if you need any money for the funeral
money.
Or anything else...
Money, is it? Get out of here! Get out!
Very well. As a matter of fact, I should be going anyway.
You'd better go, Mr. Clayton, and go fast. I'm not going to put a curse on you, though it's in my heart, because I know there's no need for it. There's a curse on you already, a curse as black as your own black soul. What you did to my Mary isn't the end. You're going to go on, doing worse things, worse and worse, until the devil himself catches up with you. And when he does, you're going to remember what I'm saying to you. remember it for a long time.
Lois. Oh,
darling.
How nice of you to finally show up at your own party.
I'm terribly sorry, darling, but there was something I had to take care of.
Your little torch singer?
What? Karen, I told you that was finished. No, it's finished. The one person in the world I'm really interested in right now, and she is particularly beautiful tonight.
Why, hon, thank you.
Lois, let's leave now. You and I just...
No, darling, none of that. Isn't it time you paid some attention to some of your other guests?
What for? Did they come here because they give a hoot about my art collection or me? No, they came because I have good liquor and because...
Oh. Why, hon, you're shivering. What's the matter?
I don't know. A sudden chill as if someone had just walked over my grave. Or as if... Lois, who's that over there?
Where?
There, that tall, thin chap near the door. The one with the beard.
Oh, that's a bit of a surprise for you. Oh, Prince. Prince.
Yes. Yes, Miss Barton.
Our wandering host has finally arrived. Prince Carlo de Tenebroso, Mr. Clayton.
Not the Prince de Tenebroso owns the Aquilo Bronzes.
Yes, Mr. Clayton. I've been most anxious to meet you as a fellow enthusiast in medieval art. I took the liberty of coming up here this evening without an invitation.
Oh, very welcome. I noticed you looking at the altar screen. What do you think of it?
A magnificent piece. Typically Florentine. Particularly the center section with the fiend's head.
Yes. That's principally why I bought it. Come inside and I'll show you my other purchase. Coming, Lois?
No, hon. After all, someone should play host. You and the prince, go ahead.
All right, Lois. This way, prince.
Miss Barton is not interested in medieval art?
Not particularly, but when a woman is that attractive, you know, no need for her to be.
Spoken like a true son of the Middle Ages.
Here we are. Italian jewel box, 16th century.
Beautiful, Mr. Clayton.
Lovely.
Simply beautiful. May I open
it? Yes, please. Nothing much in it, just some trinkets.
Yes, the usual thing. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This ring here looks like... It is. Do you know what it is, Mr. Clayton?
No. Well, I don't think I've ever noticed it before.
I haven't seen it for years. It's one of the poison rings of the Borgia.
No.
I'm certain of it. When you press the snake's head like this, see? A tiny needle punctures the skin. You'd better be very careful with it, Mr. Clayton. The Borgia poisons were very potent, very subtle.
Yes, I know. One of the Borgia's rings. Well, I will be careful with it. I better put it away before.
Hunt, someone else just came in who is very anxious to see you.
Hunt, I must...
Karen,
you.
What? Excuse me. Karen Ingram. Prince de Tenebroso.
Pleasure, Miss Ingram, I assure. Is anything the matter?
Matter?
You're staring at me so strangely.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just looked awfully familiar. I was trying to remember where I'd seen you before.
Might have been almost any place. But I imagine you're anxious to talk to Mr. Clayton, so...
I'll go out with you, Prince. See you in a little while, hon.
Right.
So that's her. I must say you've got good taste.
What was the idea of coming here?
What was the idea of lying to me, telling me you were going out of town?
I told you last week that we were finished.
Aunt, you can't do this to me. You can't. Don't you understand? I love you.
Oh, you and your love will make me laugh.
All right, hon. I'll go. You're going to be mighty sorry.
Are you threatening me?
In a way. You see, besides reading about this little party of yours in the papers, I saw something else. A couple of lines about a girl whose body was found in the river. A girl named Mary Delaney.
What do you mean?
I mean, I've got a hunch that maybe Miss Barton... Your friends and the newspapers might be interested in hearing who she was and why she committed suicide. Anyway...
Don't be foolish, Clayton. You can stop her. Shut her up for good.
What?
The ring. The Borgia ring.
You mean... Karen, wait! Come back here!
What do you want?
Oh, please forgive me, darling. I'm not myself tonight, and If I meant what I'd said about being through with you, would I have bought you a present?
A present?
Yes, you see, this ring. lovely. It's very old. It's a token of love.
Hunt. Oh, darling.
Who will know about it? I told you the poison could never be detected. If you get out of here before it takes effect...
Well, aren't you going to put it on for me, Hunt?
Of course I am, darling. There.
Oh, Hunt. If you only knew how...
What's the matter?
Something struck me.
Yes.
I'm not sure I like this ring. That snake on it.
Darling, would you like to slip away from here? Just the two of us. Come with me.
You mean now?
Yes. Come now.
Oh, Hunt, I knew you couldn't possibly be as heartless as people said you were.
Now, you wait over there by the door while I say goodbye to Lois and the Prince.
All right, but hurry.
Lois, Prince.
Oh, there you are. What happened?
Well, she agreed to leave if I take her home, and I won't be long. You'll wait, won't you?
I'm afraid I shan't be able to, Mr. Clayton. But I am most anxious to see you again. How about driving down to my place in the country, say tomorrow, and looking at my collection?
Prince, I should like that very much.
I will phone you in the morning, then, and tell you how to get there. And if you'd like to bring someone with you...
Lois?
Are you sure you'd like me to come with you? Not Miss Ingram?
No, Lois.
Oh, very well. Oh, but she does look very forlorn standing there. Suppose we go over and say goodnight to our prince.
That is the most generous thought. Let's. Is there anything more unpredictable and therefore more charming than a woman, Mr. Clayton?
I'm awfully sorry you've decided to go, Miss Ingram.
Oh.
Well, don't you feel well?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I don't. It just came over me a minute ago, and I... Hunt.
What is it, Karen? What are you staring at?
The prince. And that wooden screen, the face in the middle of it.
Yes.
Remember I said he looked familiar? That's what he reminded me of.
You mean the prince looks like Satan? Karen, you are ill.
Did you hear from Karen today?
No, dear. I was too busy to call her this morning.
Is it much farther?
I don't think so, no. At least not according to the directions the prince gave me.
Well, that's good. Country seems to be getting wilder and wilder. That storm's coming up awfully fast.
Well, don't worry, darling. We'll make it all right.
I know you'll think I'm being foolish, but I'm a little sorry you accepted his invitation to drive up here.
Why, Lois?
I don't know. He is rather a strange man. After you and Miss Ingram left last night, I looked at that carving of the fiend's head on the altar screen again and... Well, there was a resemblance.
Oh.
All the same eyes, long, narrow face.
Oh, Lois.
All right. Told you I knew it was foolish.
Yeah. Oh, there comes the rain.
Oh.
You better shut that window.
All right, I'll do it like... Oh! What's that?
Nothing, darling. Just thunder.
I didn't hear that. I meant to hit that building. See?
Well, yes. That must be the prince's place. Oh. It's pretty gloomy looking.
Gloomy? Well, all those cypresses around it... It looks like a mausoleum. Oh, I'm scared.
Of what?
I don't know, but... Oh, darling, please turn around. Let's go back.
Why, we're almost at the gate. Don't be silly,
please,
Lois.
Please, Hunt. I tell you, I'm frightened. If you won't go back, then stop the car and let me get
out. Nonsense.
Hunt, will you stop the car? If you won't, I will.
Lois, what are you doing? Let go of that brake. Let go. It's getting...
Prince's house looks like a mausoleum. How very appropriate. And Hunt Clayton, who was responsible for the suicide of Mary Delaney, the murder of Karen Ingram, thinks Lois is silly for being afraid of the place. Oh, you think there may be someone there to protect her? Well, maybe, but I wouldn't be too sure. Remember, there are few things you can really count on.
Including one's disposition.
Now, shall I go on with our story? Several hours later now, about 9 o'clock that evening, and Hunt Clayton is lying in bed in a strange room. He's just opened his eyes. Puzzled, he's looking about him. Suddenly, the door opens.
Well, Mr. Clayton, so you are starting to sit up and take notice. Splendid.
Prince, where am I? What happened?
Do you not remember? You had an accident right at the gate. You were unconscious when we picked you up, so we carried you into the house here and sent for a doctor. He said you had a mild concussion, but that you'd be all right when you came to.
That's right. Yes, I remember. Yes, Lois tried to stop the car, and I grabbed the brake and went into a skid, and... Lois, where is she? Was she hurt?
Not even scratched. She waited to hear what the doctor had to say, made sure you were all right, and then she left. Went home by train.
Oh.
You do feel all right.
Yes, I feel fine. Perfect, in fact. I think I'll get up, if I may.
I'm afraid your clothes are rather a mess, but here is a robe and slippers.
Thank you.
Let me help you.
Thank you very much. I am a little weak in the knees. I don't suppose such a thing as a drink around, do you, Prince?
I certainly do, have. You feel well enough to come downstairs?
Just lead the way, please.
I sincerely hope this isn't going to be too much for you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I have a bit of a surprise for you. In fact, several surprises.
Really? What sort?
Well, the first one's right in there, in my study. Open the door and go in.
Open the door, all right. Helen!
Hello, hon.
Can't be you. You're dead. What are you doing here?
You kept calling for her while you were unconscious, so I took the liberty of asking her to come up here. She just arrived a few minutes ago.
Are you sorry, hon?
No. No, I'm not. Somehow I'm not.
Somehow?
I mean...
It's all right. I understand.
I may be wrong, but I have a distinct feeling that this is somewhat of a reconciliation. And I think we should all have a drink on it. Miss Ingram?
Oh, thank you. What is it?
A special vintage of my own. I'm sure you've never tasted it before, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you.
Would you care to give us a toast?
A toast, yes. Here's to the future, what lies ahead of us. And here's to you, Karen. Karen, I don't think I've ever really seen before this.
Very gallantly put. And now, since you are down here, would you like to look around a bit, Mr. Clayton?
Mm. Yes.
Good. What you see on the walls here is just a part of my arms collection. This rapier, for instance. It's the one Mephistopheles used when he helped Faustus kill Marguerite's brother, Valentine.
Oh, come now, Prince. You know that just happened in the opera.
Did it? What about this sword here? The one that was used to behead Mary Queen of Scots. Did that only happen in an opera, too?
Well, no, but... What do you think, hon? Is he just making it all up?
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm afraid I wasn't listening.
You seem more interested in Miss Ingram than in my collection, Mr. Clayton. Which I don't blame you. Why don't you take her outside, onto the terrace?
Sure you don't mind, Prince. There is something I'd like to talk to her about.
Not at all. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Come on, Karen. Out here.
What a strange view. Somehow it doesn't seem quite real.
Yes, it is rather strange, that.
The river down there looks more like lava than water. And those hills. Barren, they might be the mountains of the moon.
Karen, darling, what's come over us? You and me. I haven't been able to take my eyes off of you since I first saw you sitting there tonight in the study. Why do you seem so different now?
Different?
More lovely and more desirable than you've ever been.
Well, perhaps it's because I've grown up, Hunt. You see... I had a dream last night that opened my eyes to a great many things.
A dream?
Remember that ring you put on my finger yesterday? Well, I dreamed it was a poison ring, that you were trying to kill me.
Karen, that wasn't a dream. That was a poison ring. Oh. Thank heaven! It didn't work. Because if it had, Karen, darling.
Oh, darling, you do love me.
More than I've ever loved any woman. You're all that I want in the world. Everything. And holding you tight in my arms, I swear.
Hunt, what's the matter?
I don't know. Oh. You suddenly feel cold. As cold as... Good Lord!
What is it?
You're not Karen. You're a skeleton. Oh. Keep away from me. Keep away. Don't come near me.
Hunt!
Prince!
Anything the matter, Mr. Clayton?
Karen! Oh, out there.
I was holding her in my arms, and she turned into a skeleton.
Oh, that. Yes. Why should you be surprised?
What?
Isn't that merely an extension? What you've always sought? Searched for?
What are you saying?
All your life, you've been looking for a woman who would make no demands on you. Ask nothing in return for her love. In short, you wanted a woman without a soul. Yet you cannot face the consequences. For as you've seen, its logical development is death.
Who are you?
Had you taken the trouble to translate my name into English?
Into English? The Prince de Tenebroso. The Prince of Darkness. The Devil.
Yes, Mr. Clayton.
And then this is...
Yes, Mr. Clayton. Through many years of complete ruthlessness and viciousness, and by causing the death of two innocent women, you have delivered yourself most completely and efficiently into my hands.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's a trick, some kind of trick.
Is it?
The wine has been drugged, and now Karen...
Oh, yes? Karen?
Karen, she's in it with you. She wants to get even with me for what I tried to do to her. Blast her, she rots!
I am afraid you will have to remain here with me from now until Judgment Day. And eternity is a long, long night.
No, it's a trick, I tell you, a lie. I'm dead, am I? If I was dead, would I be able to handle this sword this way? You think I know the feel of a good blade when I have it in my hand?
My dear Mr. Clayton.
Get away from that door. I don't know who you are, what your game is. But you're not going to keep me here.
You're really being very childish and very obstinate.
Get away from that door. If you don't, all right, you ask for it.
Oh, dear. One of my very best smoking jackets.
Through the heart. I stabbed you through the heart.
Will you pull it out, Mr. Clayton? Or do you want me to? Thank you.
Through the heart. And no blood. Nothing.
Seemed the easiest way to convince you. Now, do you believe?
No. No, you can't keep me here. You can't!
I'd keep away from that window if I were you, Mr. Clayton. There is no escape that way, and it's a long, long fall.
Don't stay, I tell you. I won't!
Come in.
Prince de Tenebroso?
Yes?
I'm the coroner.
Oh, yes. This is Miss Lois Barton, the other witness.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I'm very sorry to bother you, but I wonder if you'd mind going over the facts of the case again.
Why, not at all. I met Mr. Clayton for the first time the night before last. Invited him down here. He and Miss Barton had a bit of an accident, smashed their car up right at the gate. When we picked him up, carried him into the house, he was unconscious. I called in a doctor. He examined him, said he had a mild concussion. He remained unconscious for several hours. When he came to, he seemed perfectly normal, except that he kept calling Miss Barton Karen.
Is that so, Miss Barton?
Yes. Yes, it is.
He went outside onto the terrace with her. Came running back in great agitation, claiming she'd turned into a skeleton. I tried to calm him, but he grabbed a rapier from the wall and attacked me. When I disarmed him, he ran to the window, threw himself out. As you can see, it's a long drop. It's close to 100 feet.
You confirm everything the prince said, Miss Barton?
Yes. Yes, I do. The only thing I can't understand is why he kept shouting that the prince was the devil.
I wonder.
What do you make of that? Do you believe as Hunt Clayton did? The prince. You can translate his name any way you like. Perhaps he was just a harmless collector of medieval art, but why did he smile so cryptically when the coroner said that Clayton was out of his mind? Perhaps it was because he knew, as Hunt Clayton found out, that hell is where you find it. Sometimes right in your own mind, our hearts. Now, does that clear up everything?
Just about, Raymond, except one thing.
Well, we're here to solve things, Mr. Herlihy, so trot it out.
It's just this. It's still a mystery.